Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Ezekiel 9:4. Mark this point with care. Those who receive the pure mark of truth, wrought in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by a mark by the man in linen, are those that sigh and cry for all the abomination that is done in the church. The class who do not feel grieved over their own spiritual declension, nor mourn over the sins of others, will be left without the seal of God. Not all who profess to keep the Sabbath will be sealed. There are many even among those who teach the truth to others who will not receive the seal of God in their foreheads. They had the light of truth. They knew their master's will. They understood every point of faith, but they had not the corresponding works. Not one of us will receive the seal of God while our characters have one spot or stain upon them. It is left with us to remedy the defects in our characters, to cleanse the soul temple of every defilement. Then the latter rain will fall upon us as it fell upon the disciples. What are you doing, brethren, in this great work of preparation? Those who are uniting with the world are receiving the worldly mold and preparing for the mark of the beast. Those who are distrustful of self, who are humbling themselves before God and purifying their souls by obeying the truth, these are receiving the heavenly mold and preparing for the seal of God in their foreheads. When the decree goes forth and the stamp is impressed, their character will remain pure and spotless for eternity. Now is the time to prepare. The seal of God will never be placed upon the forehead of an impure man or woman. It will never be placed upon the forehead of the ambitious, world-loving man or woman. It will never be placed upon the forehead of men or women of false tongue or deceitful hearts. All who receive the seal of God must be without spot before God, candidates for heaven.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again today, we can be rejoicing in your word, realizing that your word is being fulfilled all around us. As we pick up the daily newspapers and watch the evening news, Father, more than ever before, we as your people should be preparing our lives to receive you with joy and gladness. But Father, we realize if we are not ready, there will be a fearful woe falling upon all of us who only have a form of godliness but denying the power of them. For just so today, Father, we ask for double and force your Holy Spirit upon those that are listening, also those that are part of this program today, Father. Then you should come, we will not be found wanting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon, and we want to say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call us at any time at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. On our website, you will find articles written by Brother Paul, by Brother Renwick, and some other information written by Sister Marlene McKinney, who used to be a part of this program. Also, you will have links to some very interesting sites for study, for perusal, and for understanding, we believe, the gospel a little better. We want to apologize right off the bat. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Turning Point had planned a two-hour live call-in show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. from 8 to 10. But due to circumstances beyond our control, the program has been postponed until further notice from ZNS. So we ask you to stay tuned. You could visit our website, www.tpministry.org, and there will be updates of when we will be having the live call-in show. Also, we'll update you here on this station at the same time. We'll update you on what we are doing. Now, before we get into our question, and as you know, we're dealing with the subject, false prophet. How can we tell a false prophet? But before we get into our program proper, we're going to ask Brother Paul to give us highlights of what happened in the news this week that might be beneficial to our spiritual development. Brother Paul.
Thank you much, Brother. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Well, once again, the murder rate continues to climb from our sad part of the news. The body count right now of murders of our young men and women are 17, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe that? We're only 3 months into the new year, and already 17 of our brothers and sisters have come to the hands of death. Pray for the families, ladies and gentlemen. This is the most painful time in our earth's history, but just like the Bible penned it, that's just how the world is being played out. I'd like to read you something from the book of Hosea, and you let me know if this doesn't sound like our day. Hosea chapter 4. You should have your Bibles. Can you please turn to there and listen to what the prophet Isaiah wrote over 3,000 years ago. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. The Lord have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, blood touching blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwell therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the heavens, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. And isn't that true today? I mean, the government didn't have to be passing laws to tell us to stop fishing because the fishes are not taken away, just like the Bible penned it. That's Hosea 4, verses 3. Continuing in verse 4 of Hosea chapter 4, yet let no man complain, nor approve another, for thy people are they that approve with the priest. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Verse 6 of Hosea 4, my people, the Lord says, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I'll also reject thee. Because thou hast forgotten, and thou will be no priest unto me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I'll also forget thy children. And that's the problem with the society today. They want to reject the laws of God. And because of that, even in the paper this week, Dr. David Allen, he said the time has come, he believed in his opinion, to start giving children birth control pills. Birth control shot, I should have said. He said babies are having babies. Girls as young as 8 to 13 years old are getting pregnant. Can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Sure, we surely can believe it, because the Bible tells the young people to flee lustful fornication. But what are our young people meditating upon? What are they watching at the movie, or on the blockbuster, or even on the so-called music videos? 13 and 8-year-old girls getting pregnant at an early age, watching programs on television and things that they should not be watching. Pray for our young people, ladies. This sure is like about a generation of young wipers. And more than ever before, if it was ever time parents need to be on the bandwagon of checking what their children are into, the time surely is now.
Brother Paul, Brother Renwick, we're now going to take on our subject of false prophet. And we know that there are a number of pastors, reverends, or whatever you want to call them, bishops, who are saying things that seems to go against God's word. And I think we would all put them in the category of a false prophet. My first question, Brother Renwick, is to you. There's much talk by these religious leaders about peace and prosperity and overflow and increase. And all these things seem to be good. What does the Bible say about what will happen or what is happening in the world today?
Well, Brother Julian, that's a very good question. But before we look at what's happening in the world today, I think we, all of us that particularly live in the end time, need to always keep God's commandments foremost in our minds. And one of the things that he warned us against is covetousness. And, you know, when we go down in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus himself said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And you know, this is a warning against, you know, all those, whether it be Christian or non-Christian ministers that are out there and selling many books and all over the television screen saying that, you know, great priests and great prosperity and overflow and increases around every corner, so to speak. But you know, this is one of the things that we need to guard ourselves against always continuously wanting more. But to address the second part of your question, one of the things that we have to ask ourselves is, you know, can we truly have peace in our lives without humbling and submitting ourselves to Lord Jesus Christ, without repentance of our sins? And this is one of the things that brought Israel to destruction back in the Old Testament times. We saw that many false prophets arise amongst them and told them, even in the midst of their sins, even in the midst of them worshiping the idols and the false gods, that no destruction was going to come upon them, that the Lord, you know, the Lord turned his back and the Lord does not see, and, you know, judgment isn't headed their way. But we see just the contrary when we turn to the book of Jeremiah. And matter of fact, Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 11 and through 13 says, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, said the Lord. They have beliled the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see the sword of famine. And keep in mind again, this is in the middle of their apostasy. This is in the middle of their turning their backs upon the Lord and doing all the things that the Lord instructed them specifically not to do. And they went on and said, goes on to say in Jeremiah, neither shall we see sword nor famine, and the prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them, thus shall it be done unto them. And this is a very serious woe, speaking of impending judgment upon the people, because they had not hearkened upon the word of the Lord and have not turned to his word, but they love to hear the smooth and things come to their ears and tell them what they wanted to hear, that even in the midst of their sinfulness, the Lord was going to continue to bless.
Brother Paul, before I get into my real question, I just want to ask one question before I get to the real point, I should say. We know that Jesus lived on this earth and he lived a victorious life. That means he lived without sinning. How was Jesus able to do this?
According to John chapter 8, Brother Julian, verse 28 and 29 to be exact, then Jesus said unto them, when ye shall lift up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do none of these things of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, says Jesus, for I do always those things that pleases him. And that's the question we need to ask ourselves today. Are we doing those things that please our Heavenly Father? And if we are, we are in good standing and right relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Brother Paul, on that, we hear a lot of ministers are saying today, and when you talk to them and you get into some deep studies, they say that Jesus has had an advantage over what we have today. Is this true? Does the Bible back this up?
No, that doesn't, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, all through the scriptures, we see Jesus said, making the same comment that I made a little while ago, that none of these things he do of himself. He always relied on his Heavenly Father, and this is why we see in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 4, you saw where the devil came tempting after 40 days of fasting to turn stones into bread, because we must realize that God was divine, plus he was also man like you and I. So the devil always came in trying to get him to do his divine powers in order to do the things that he knew that he could have done because he had the power hidden within him. But he came wrapped up in humanity, with divinity being hired on the inside of him. And if he was to use his powers, then that means Christ indeed would have had a power on us. And then there would have been no right for 1 Peter to write, even so here are you and I called. That Christ left an example that you and I should walk as he walked. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22.
Is it required of God's people today to live victoriously, or should he say another way, to live without sinning?
It is required, Brother Julian. If it's not required, that means there's no reason for us to have the young man locked up in prison. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In the Bahama Journal this week, the Prime Minister also had a question along these same lines, if it's possible, what's going on? They wrote a very interesting story in the editorial section of the Bahama Journal on the 13th of March under the topic, This Crime Infested Society. And the editor went on to say, sometimes it seems as if there's a culture where everything imaginable is being permitted. In some instances, there are practices and behaviors that were once considered so taboo that they would not be mentioned in certain polite companies. And then he went on to say, and one of the prime ministers, one of the PLP conventions, he said, the prime minister said, the level of violent crime in our society is simply unacceptable. The level of viciousness in the commission of murder and rapes and robberies in our society is simply intolerable. Then the Prime Minister asked three questions. Tell me, asked the Prime Minister, what will give these thugs the right to smash somebody's front door down and then march up the stairs and rape a woman right in the front of her husband with a gun being pressed to his head? Then he asked this question. What kind of animal, what kind of brutal beasts have we created in this land? What kind of animal can chop up a woman right in the front of her infant child? What kind of mindless person can shoot someone in the head just because he looked at him the wrong way? And then the elder said, like the prime minister, we too need the answers to these questions. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the answers to these questions are in the Bible. And that's why Jesus said the grass faded and all these things happened, but the word of God stands forever. And in a little while, we continue to share with you why is these things happening. They simply happen because people have rejected the word of the Lord.
But Paul, if this is possible, how is it possible for the Christian today to live victoriously?
Brother Julian, the first thing we realize, Brother Julian, according to Romans chapter 3, I think it is, the Apostle Paul said there's nothing good in us. We must always go to the word of God to find out that from time to time you hear people say that yeah, this is a good person over here, this is another good brother. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And how is it possible? We need to realize that Romans 8, answering the prime minister's question, all those other people have questions based on all the crime that's taking place. But our carnal mind, Romans 8 verse 7, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed or never indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So the only way we can do it, if you're walking in the Spirit, we must surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. We must take on the attitude like that of Nicodemus when he came to Christ by late of night. And Christ told him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And once we are born again, and the power of God rests upon us, then and only then can we live the life that is pleasing in the sight of God and man.
Brother Renman, today, is the Christian church, the members, are they safe from these false prophets with these type of information that we see going on?
Absolutely not, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, if when we turn to the scriptures, we see quite the opposite. As a matter of fact, the scriptures warn those that are in the church that in the end times, there are going to be many that rise up within the church and are going to lead people away from the truth that is God's word, but are going to lead them into, as we often use the term, another gospel, you know, something that sounds almost like the truth, almost like it's authentically from the Bible. But we all know that once you inject a little error in there, a little lie in there, then that's where the big problem lies. You know, once you add a little drop of poison to a big glass of water, it's no longer pure water. But 2 Corinthians speaks precisely of this, and it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and the Apostle Paul's giving a warning to those that are in the church, and he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And I mean, unfortunately, there are many in the church that deny this, saying that, okay, you know, in the church, you know, we can't possibly have false prophets or apostles rise up in the church, not in our church. You know, maybe in some little small church around the corner, but not, could possibly happen in our church, not this big church. Look how large our congregation is. Look at the number of people that are coming in. Look how much we're growing. Look how prosperous we are. Every time we come out, we feel the Spirit, so to speak. But the God's word is quite clear that we need to be on our guard against deception, against people that will lead us away from the truth in God's word. And we can't be on our guard by, you know, just watching television or reading the nice religious novels. We need to be on our guard by studying His word and live according to all those things that are written therein.
You know, thinking about what Brother Renman said about taking the word of God seriously, our faithful producer, who is also recording for us today, on last week, I remember telling him that there's only one word that has the world in a chaos today, dealing with sin. When God told Adam and Eve, "The day that they eat of the fruit, they shall surely die," Satan added one word, a three-letter word, "not." God said, "They shall surely die," and Satan came along and said, "You shall not surely die." And that same "not," N-O-T, had the whole world in a chaos of sin today. But there's good news, that although we are born with a sinful nature, although we are born prone to sin, in Jesus Christ we can have the victory. He can hold that nature in check, meaning that the nature is not taken away. The nature is held in check until this mortal should put on immortality, until this corruptible should put on incorruptibility. So we have to stay on our guard. This is every day of our lives we have to go before the Lord, plead with Him, begging the Lord, take control of our lives. Abide in me today, like you did yesterday. Thank you for the victories that I've won yesterday, but now yesterday has passed. This is a new day, Lord. Abide in me that I can walk the life you walk. You walk when you walk. Come on, man.
Amen. And you know, it's so important for us to, like Brother Paul, you previously said, for us to, you know, instruct our children in the way of righteousness, to teach them those things that the Lord has given us. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 speaks precisely of this, and speaking to the children of Israel, but this is for all of us, but speaking to the children of Israel after they had received God's Ten Commandments, which were given to all mankind. And it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and commandments which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son and thy son's son, that all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." And when we go down to chapter 7, the Lord repeats this again, and he says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So what is he telling us? If we want to turn the tide of crime and violence that we see in our nation today. You know, we can't do it by putting more police on the streets or giving them more guns or starting some community policing program. The solution to all this lies within Jesus Christ. And it lies in teaching not only us holding on to his word and being true to it, but us instructing the young ones as they come up, to instruct them in the way of the Lord and teach them truth from error, teach them righteousness from unrighteousness, that they may walk in the way of the Lord. And that's the only way that we're going to turn back a lot of things that we see in the world today.
But I'd like to add to that before we get back to the question is, you know, and last week I got a really sad poster, and this poster is promoting a call about Hammer Fest, and this is going to be sometime in June, you know, and this fest is going to be, as a matter of fact, it says that for the first 5,000 children that show up, they're going to get a free toy, you know, and it's talking about at this fest, they're going to have hip-hop, rock and roll, reggae, and contemporary gospel, I guess that's supposed to be there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, are these the things that we're going to use to try to transform our young people's lives? The Bible is quite clear. Let this mind be in you and I, which is also in Christ Jesus. Remember, our carnal mind is not subject to right doing. We love evil. And these programs that they're having here, I mean, God forbid, this program is being sponsored. I mean, this is being sponsored, they said, by Prayers Fest Ministries, Sons of Salvation Ministries, Bahamas Ministry of Tools, and sad to say, God forbid I have to say it, but I have to say it, Bahamas Christian Council and other religious leaders. But ladies and gentlemen, I like to meet with these people and ask them, when did the gospel change? I mean, if it is, then I'm on board also. I assure you I'll be there, and I'll have my four kids as we get to have a part of this toy too also. But if I'm understanding the gospel right, the Bible says we must love the world. Near things that are in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, I'm going to try to see if I can make an appointment to sit down with the Christian Council before this program comes up so they can, you know, have to straight me out here, because if I'm right, ladies and gentlemen, this program does not need to come off. And I'm asking the Christian Council today and the Ministry of Tourism to think again. If they really want to reach out to the young people, if you just get that Guardian on Friday and just really show Dr. David Allen Hart is crying out to help our young people, and he wants to work a compromise. It must be something we can do to just prevent them from getting by. I mean, the concept sounds good, but it's not biblical, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible is quite clear. If you can't do without getting married, without having sex, then get married. If our kids at 8 and 10 years old want to have sex, then let them get married. I mean, we could change that type of law. I don't mind. And then when they get married at 8 and 10, then the parents just got to help them out, pay their rent and stuff like that, until they have age to take care of themselves. That is much more better than saying that, you know, at 8, 10 years old, stick them with a needle so they don't get pregnant.
But Paul, when Jesus was on earth, he kept the commandment.
Yes, he did, Brother Joel. He sure did. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus was able to keep the commandments to his heavenly Father. He says that I always keep my Father's commandments. You'll find it in the book of John. And because he kept his Father's commandments, his Father can also give us the power to keep his commandments. John chapter 5. Jesus says in John chapter 5, beginning at verse 9, "For as my Father loved me, so I love you, and continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, sir, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." That's John 15, verse 10. "These things I have spoken to you," said Jesus, "that your joy may remain in you, that your joy may be filled. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this," says Jesus, "that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do those things what I have commanded you."
You know, all in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we see the theme over and over again. The Lord speaking to his church and saying that if we overcome, then this reward awaits us upon his return. And he can't possibly tell us that, you know, we need to overcome if he did not give us the strength and the power to overcome. So, you know, all that we need to live a victorious life and overcome the sins and temptations in this world is already there. It's already there, and heaven is waiting to work on our behalf if we'll only cooperate with the Lord Jesus Christ and take hold of his power and his strength. And through his power and his strength, we will be able to live that victorious life.
Amen.
But Paul, if there's any one sure word, if there's one sure word that we have that we can rely on, and what the word has to say on this topic, what would that be for the listening audience this afternoon?
Brother Julie, this short word is so powerful and so short to the point. It's only 7 words spoken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John 14:15. "If you love me," says Jesus, "keep my commandments." And if all of us today will rely on the power that Brother Renu just spoke about a little while ago, that power that is in Jesus Christ, if we truly rest in his power and his strength, and we keep his commandments, you know, all the prisons can open up. The newspaper on Monday we'll read zero crime, no crime, for the rest of our lives. If you just follow those seven simple words, if you love me. Now, Jesus very well is not going to force you to love me. You better love me. But a loving Savior like he is, he says, if. It's on a condition. If you love me, little ones. If you love me, my people who I die upon Calvary's cross. Just keep my commandments. And the good news is, I will empower you to keep it. How much more good news do we want?
How would we truly know if we love the Lord or love God? Because there are many ministers and pastors today that tell you that you can't keep all the commandments. It's not possible. What would you have to say to them, Brother Paul?
Brother Julian, one of the clearest words I know how we'll know we love Jesus Christ is found in 1 John chapter 2, 1 to 7, written by the Apostle John. And he says, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, he have an advocate of the Father, Jesus Christ, who righteous. And he's our petitioner for our sins, not only for us, he says, but for the whole world. And hereby we do know Jesus, if we keep his commandments. And he that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Strong words. But whosoever shall keep his word, wherein the love of God is perfected. Hereby we know that we know him. And he that says, I abide in him, ought even us to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. That's the commandment we had, the old commandment in Exodus chapter 20. Read them today. Teach them to your children, like Brother Renick said earlier, and I assure you, great peace and understanding will be yours to the end of this world.
You know, gentlemen, if those ministers of the gospel are correct, that it's impossible for us to keep all of the commandments, then we might as well pack this thing up right now. We might as well close up shop right now and go home, because that would mean that all those people in the Bible that we read about that were faithful to the Lord and did keep his commandments, that means that they had some advantage over us that we don't now have. They have something extra that we do not now have. And that is contrary to the Lord's word. Because he said, and before he left this earth, that he would send us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he would lead and guide us into all truth. But not only lead us and guide us into all truth, but he would be a direct source of power from heaven that we may overcome and live victoriously. I believe in that promise and thank the Lord for his promise.
Brother Paul, we have about 1.5 more minutes, so we could probably take one more question. And my question is, what would you have to say to somebody who believed that they might be in a false church? What would you have them to do?
Brother Julian, I'll tell them to take on the attitude of the Bereans, where they search the scriptures daily to see whether those things were true or not. And that's an admonition we've been asking our listeners for the past almost 5 years now. That whatever we say, we give the scriptures over week after week. To put those scriptures before the Lord, plead for his Holy Spirit, that you will have the power to walk in the light as he was in the light. As a matter of fact, the Bible said the word of God will stand forever. Jesus said, not one jot or not tittle shall pass from his word till all has been fulfilled. And as we see, the word is being wrapped up in quick rapid procession. And now and never before, I mean, I plead with you, ladies and gentlemen, to pick up the word of God. And if you could just spend 30 minutes a day, just meditate upon just one verse of scripture, I assure you, he which begun the good work in you, or he that is ready to begin a good work in you, will finish unto the day of redemption. And hold fast to that word, because it will not fail. Because many who went on before us, like Baranek said, are now in the grave waiting the call of the God when he should come in the clouds of heaven.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And you said that in your word that it is a light into our feet and a lamp into our path. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we ask that as we speak to your people today, that it would not be us that they hear, but it would be your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and it would draw man's heart to you in repentance and in preparation for your soon coming. We give you thanks and praise. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And Renwick Bo.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the program Turning Point Live will not be on tomorrow night. Visit our website at www.tpministries.org. or give us a call at 322-6273 to let you know when the program will be there. And may the peace of God be with you. Amen.